בטחים גם יחד הנה מה טוב הנה מה טוב לילה 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 לילה.
Welcome to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin Solomon, Senior Rabbi of Congregation Beth Hillel in Roswell, Georgia. Beth Hillel is one of the largest Messianic Jewish synagogues in the world and provides a place where Jewish people can find the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus in Hebrew, and retain their Jewishness. It's also where Gentiles worship and embrace the roots of the faith in drawing closer to God. Click the link in the description to support this ministry or to view our YouTube channel. Let's join Rabbi Kevin now as he shares this word from Scripture.
We're continuing today in the series based on some of the sayings of our founding Rabbi Robert Solomon, the series called The Wisdom of Solomon. So I have certain quotes that he used to say. Our founding rabbi passed away a little bit earlier this year, and there were things that he said very often, and I took some of his quotes and developed sermons around them, and today is part of that series. First, I'm going to be sharing a story with you, though. I have not always been a rabbi and in a full-time ministry, always been working in various parts of the nonprofit ministry, but was not full-time for many years, was in the secular workforce and had a lot of different wonderful and exciting jobs. I remember back when I worked for the Coca-Cola company, down at the world headquarters of the Coca-Cola company, in fact, and worked for Coca-Cola for many years. And I'll tell you, when I worked for Coca-Cola, employees of Coca-Cola were passionate. Man, I'm telling you what, the employees of Coca-Cola straight out passionate. And I'm not even kidding or exaggerating by any means when I talk about that. I remember when I worked there back in the day, and working for Coke was perceived as an honor. And honestly, all the different places I worked for in the secular world, no other place I ever worked at in the secular world was like it. It was unique amongst all the places I different worked. You didn't even really have to be told. It wasn't like they pushed passion on you for working for the Coca-Cola company. It just absolutely came natural. It was something that was in the air that made you always want for Coca-Cola to win. We wanted to win, and you just felt it, and we all pulled together to try to make it happen. In fact, when it was absolutely necessary to refer to the other cola, you never even provided the opposition any advertising at all by dignifying them even to say their name. You would find a Coca-Cola World Headquarters, nobody even say the word. Mm-hmm. In fact, they were referred to simply as the competitor. That's it. The competitor. Mm-hmm. In fact, it was obviously understood that you never partook of the competitor. And it was also, honestly, I'm just telling you how it was self-evident that you did not patronize any restaurant that did not serve Coca-Cola from its fountain. No, you don't even go to that restaurant. No one had to wonder. Well, you know, the family said, we want to go here, you want to go there. Well, can't go there. I know what they serve there. Nope, not going there. It was like automatic. And goodness knows you wouldn't want to be caught. Somebody driving by is like, hold on, that's not in that restaurant. No way. No. Nobody had to even tell you. And in fact, people were so passionate about it. Whenever there was a company picnic, I'll never forget this. They had a company picnic. They put flyers up. Gen Z flyers are like pieces of paper where you write information on to let people know about things. Okay, so whenever we had a company picnic, the flyers always reminded people not to bring any Frito-Lay products because that was owned by the competitor also. So whenever you went to a Coca-Cola picnic, that was always like Tom's Chips. You know, it's like, no, you know, there was never any of the, no. And these unwritten rules were evident even in new employee orientation. I'm telling you, you could just absolutely sensed it. I remember when I went to my new employee orientation at Coca-Cola, and we were there, and there were people from all different parts of the company. It's a huge company. And there were people from all over, and they said, just kind of like as an icebreaker, they started off by saying, okay, let's go one at a time in the rows and just tell us your name, what group you're going to be working in, and your favorite, product, your favorite beverage. Okay. And so, you know, it started going through, I'm Bob Smith. I'm in marketing, and my favorite is Sprite. That's like, oh, okay. Hey, welcome, Bob. And everybody kind of applauded, and everybody was happy, and went on down the line. I'll never forget this. I kind of low-key want to see a replay of it. And it was just kind of funny, memeable for sure. And it got to this, it was the third row. And there was this lady, she said, I don't know her name. I'm Amy Jenkins and I work in operations and my favorite drink is, and she said the competitor name. And then she quickly said, I'm just joking. I love Coke. And it was like, it was like, not, she was trying to be funny, I guess. It was not funny, man. I'm telling you, you could have heard a pin drop in that room at that moment. And it was like, I was like, almost like gasp, like, you know, and it's like, get the hook, get her out of here, you know, get out and around. You don't joke about that. And it was like, I promise it was the funniest thing looking back on it. You know, it's, I'm telling you, you may think that some of this stuff is over the top. I understand that. But friends, we were honored to be on the team. We really were. It was considered a really special. And we knew that we were on the winning team, by the way. We knew that we were on the winning team. You know, you look at any criteria you want to. You want to look at the numbers. You want to look at volume. You want to look at profitability. Thank you very much. Still true today, by the way. Thank you very much. Someone years ago donated Coca-Cola stock to Beth Hillel. Beth Hillel is a owner in part of Coca-Cola. But in any case, feel free to donate stock, by the way, to Beth Hillel. We can do that. But so we knew as employees, we were on the winning team, and it felt good to be so loyal and to be so passionate. It felt special. First Peter, please. Chapter 4. First Peter, chapter 4. Bavakasha. First Peter, chapter 4. Let's read something kind of interesting. Says verse 1, says, therefore, since Messiah suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. Ooh, boy, that doesn't sound very fun. For the one who has suffered in the flesh is finished with sin. Oh, okay. As a result, he lives the rest of his time in the flesh, no longer for human desires, but for God's will. Boy, that's good. I want to read verse 2 again. As a result, because you've suffered, you've crucified the flesh, right? But as long as you live still in the flesh, in other words, as long as you're still breathing in your mortal body, as a result, he lives the rest of his time in the flesh. As long as you're in that mortal body, you no longer have human desires, but you desire God's will. Wow, that's a high standard. Wow. Boy, because you're, if you will, you suffered the flesh out. Messiah did this, finished with sin. So you don't satisfy your flesh, your human desires, but rather you should seek God's will. Friends, I've seen it all too often in my life, in my many years of ministry, my parents. I could take a look at a membership roll from 25 years ago, and I know all those people on that membership roll. I remember them. And I can recount to you people who were at one point active in service to God, but who no longer are. And listen to this. For most of them, it's not that they would say to you today that they no longer believe in God. Most would claim that they still do believe in God. It's just that other things have gotten in the way with them serving God regularly, fervently, passionately. Other things get in the way. They don't want to make the drive. Kind of starts out that way. Maybe they want time for themselves. Oh boy. I just need to get my sleep. I just want to sleep in on Saturday. You know, we have a Friday service. I get off work really late. I get off work. Oh, okay. How convenient. Wow. Both sides. They want to go out with their friends. They want to have fun. They have other priorities. They have things that they take their children to. One excuse after the other. And eventually, oftentimes, it's because they've become apathetic. They've become apathetic. Here's the truth. They've not become apathetic. They've become pathetic. That's the fact. Since Messiah suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. Woo, boy. That's a high calling. It comes as no surprise that plenty of people will fall away and filter out. Why? Because they don't have that in them. They don't want to join Messiah with crucifying the flesh and taking sacrifice upon themselves and even suffering the flesh. No. But Scripture says, arm yourselves with the same attitude. I don't think I signed up for that. Okay. Scripture says, live the rest of your days no longer for human desires, but for God's will. Do you hear that, friends? Live the rest of your days, as long as you're breathing on this mud ball called planet Earth, and no longer live for human desires, but for God's will. See, beloved, I love the passion of being a part of the Coca-Cola company. I really did, and I do. I look back on it fondly. I love the passion of being part of the Coca-Cola company. It's cool, but that is comparatively unimportant as compared to being a part of God's company. That's where the real action is, my friends. Do you hear what we're called to do? See, it's not small. It's not a nice side gig. You know, a little side thing. No, this should be central to who we are. Live the rest of your days no longer for your human desires, but for God's will. I want to say it again. Live the rest of your days no longer for your human desires, but for God's will. Is that a high standard? Yes. Yes, it is. But it should not be a burden. It should not be a burden. Why? Because it's way cooler than working for Coca-Cola. Way cooler. You should want to and be excited about being passionate for God. Being passionate for God should bring you great joy, and it should give you excitement, and it should stir up something within you that is just like joy and honor. You know, and I think about how I used to work for Coca-Cola, and it was like totally cool, man. I get to work for the Coca-Cola. Where do you work? People ask me, where do you work? I work for the Coca-Cola company. People go, oh, wow, okay. And you could tell they were impressed, right? You know, it's like, wow, that's cool, man. Just saying that people are impressed. It's pretty awesome. How much more so the creator of the universe? Oh, what do you spend your, what is your life? What do you do with the bulk of your life? What's the most important thing in your life? Oh, I love God. You know, a smart person's going to go, oh, wow, that's, ooh, boy, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. That's better than me. I I work at McDonald's, you know. See, you see what I'm saying? Is that if we're passionate about God, that's greater than anything we could do here on this earth. Matthew chapter 6, Bavakasha. Matthew 6. Oh, man, Yeshua really wants for us to refocus. And you know, in Matthew 6, Yeshua is essentially telling us here, you got to major on the majors. Don't be distracted by this other stuff that will take away your joy and will take away your passion and will distract you from what is really important in life and causes people angst and worry. People worry all the time. Our people are known as a worrying people. You know, the Jewish people, gosh, you know, it's considered a Jewish gene. Geneticists have checked and they're like, well, Jewish people, what's the number? It's there's a worry gene somewhere in there. You know, every Jewish mother's got it. The worry, and you say, no, we gotta get that out of us. Why do we gotta get that out of us? Yeshua tells us, Matthew 6:31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the pagans eagerly pursue all those things, yet your Father in heaven knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Woo, that's for sure. People are worrying all the time. Worry, worry, worry. People worry all the time. And the ironic thing is that they're worrying about all the wrong things. They're worrying about all the wrong things. Aside from us not needing to worry in the first place, that which they're worrying about is a focus issue. You see? So, we shouldn't worry in the first place, but they've got it double wrong. They're worrying and they're worrying about things that are comparatively not important. It's not as though you don't need to care about making sure you have enough money to eat or pay the rent or your mortgage or whatever. You should care about those things. I'm not saying that you should just ignore them. If you completely ignore them altogether, you're going to be not worrying, but you're going to be homeless. Right? I mean, okay, no, I'm not saying that you shouldn't take care about these things, and you should, okay, but worry, listen, excessively worrying about things like this makes it clear that you haven't grasped what team you play on. It makes it clear you haven't fully grasped the company that you work for. You see what I'm saying? The scripture says, seek the kingdom of God first. First. We have to seek the kingdom of God first. Numero uno. Somebody speaks the holy language. First, and his righteousness. Friends, you have a choice. You have a choice as to what you're going to do. You have a choice whether to be passionate or you have a choice to be passive. Are you going to be passionate or are you going to be passive? It's your choice. God's not going to force you. He's not going to take you, shake you up and say, you must be passionate for me. He doesn't play that way. He doesn't do that. He gives us the free choice. You can choose to be passionate or you can choose to be passive. I'm talking to even to you believers out here. Friends, we look back thousands of years and we chuckle when we think of mankind worshiping idols or statues. We look back and we how could mankind ever have worshiped an idol, a piece of wood or metal or something like that? How could they have even done such a thing? The ancient man is worshiping a statue, right? You know, with my modern sensibilities, it would be laughable for me to do that today. Come on. Why would someone do something like that? I mean, anybody can see that you don't need to be doing that. Yet people do this all the time. Because if God does not come first in your life, then you are serving a false god. If God does not come first in your life, friends, and you are serving a false god, it may not be a statuette. It may not be a some kind of an icon, but you best believe you are worshiping a false god. Matthew chapter 12, please. Matthew 12. See, we don't think of it in those terms. We don't think of it like that. Putting God first. You may say, well, yes, theoretically, philosophically, I believe in putting God first, seeking his kingdom first. No, I'm not asking philosophically. I'm asking practically, is that what you actually do? Do you seek God's kingdom first? Is that your first priority? I'm not saying that you shouldn't care about your job or for that matter, your family, other things. These are very important things. I'm not saying only first you seek the kingdom of God. But, you know, because part of the kingdom of God is doing these other things. Matthew chapter 12 makes it clear in that regard. Verse 30, it says, he who is not with me, Yeshua says, is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters. Wow, I want to say that again. This is what Messiah says. It's a pretty powerful point for you all to think about. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. It's a pretty clear-cut case, beloved. Pretty clear-cut. As C.S. Lewis points out in his trilemma, Yeshua does not give us the option of saying he's merely a good man or a prophet. Some people say that, you know, some people say, oh, Yeshua, you know, some of our people, some of my Jewish brothers and sisters say, Yeshua, well, he was a good man, he was a prophet. No, Yeshua does not make room for this. He does not offer us that option. He declares himself to be the Son of the living God. He says, when you see me, you've seen the Father. You know, he can't be a good man and a prophet if he's just lying out his teeth. Either that or he's got to be a lunatic, as C.S. Lewis famously said, or he is who he says he is. And if he says who he says he is, then he says, he who is not with me is against me. He does not gather with me scatters. Similarly, we have to make sure that we are living our lives following God and living for his will. You know, because as it says in 1 Peter chapter 4, sometimes you have to make sacrifices. We talked about that a little bit earlier. Sometimes you got to make sacrifices, but it is worth it. Amen? Are you with me? It's worth it. See, when you have God as the right priority and you make those sacrifices that are necessary, it's worth it. Why? Because God loves us and cares for us and wants the best for us. It may not always be easy, friends, but it will always be worth it. I want to say that again. It may not always be easy, my friends, but it will always be worth it. See, God doesn't promise it's always going to be a piece of cake. And all that gets us to the quote from Rabbi Robert, who Baruch remembers well. You'll remember he said this one often. And what is this quote from Rabbi Robert? It's actually a scripture verse he loved so much. And it's a scripture verse that he quoted all the time. He quoted this scripture verse so frequently. And it relates to everything we've talked about, because he would talk about the fact that he lived hard in the fast lane for himself. He lived for himself, for his flesh, for so many years. He served the adversary passionately. But friends, when God got a hold of him, something changed. Something changed. The light of Messiah came into his life, and he was different. God had transformed his life and all for the better. So he decided long ago that as much as he had lived life in the fast lane and he had served the adversary, that once he found his Jewish Messiah, something changed within him. And he said, you can do whatever it is that you want to do. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Praise God. Woo! Woo! Baruch Hashem. That's from Joshua chapter 24. Let's go to Joshua 24. Let's read that. Yes. Baruch Hashem. Woo! Comes from Joshua, that passage of scripture, which my father of blessed memory used to say all the time. You know, and it was indicative, James, of passion. Passion. Joshua here was charging the children of Israel right before he was going to die. In Joshua 24, Joshua was soon going to be leaving this planet. And so he brought the children of Israel, gathered them together. And in, if you look at Joshua 24 and before, what he did is he began recounting. He was recounting all that God had done for us as a people up to that point. So he kind of like goes through the history of our people about, well, God did this for us. And then when this happened, and then Egypt, and then the plagues, and then this, and then that. He's going through all the different things that happened, if you will. And then after he comes to conclusion, then he challenged them with a question. From Joshua chapter 24, verse 14, it says, this is Joshua talking to the people of Israel. He said, he tells them, and this is like his final message, the final message he's given to the people of Israel before he goes on to be with the Lord. He says, now, therefore, fear Adonai and worship him in sincerity and in truth. Get rid of the gods that your fathers had worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and worship Adonai. If it seems bad to you to worship Adonai, then choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods that your fathers worshipped that were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will worship Adonai. See, friends, this was certainly Rabbi Robert's passion. This has got to be our passion. This has got to be what we want to do. This has got to be what's in our kishkas, believers. This has got to be what it describes of the essence of our being. That's got to be our guiding light. Do you feel this strongly? No matter what happens, good or bad. See, it's not circumstance dependent. No, it's not. V'anochi uveti na'avod et Adonai. It's for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. See, don't compromise on this. See, Joshua is saying, listen, you can do what you want to do, Jim. You got to look real hard in the Hebrew to find the gem. He said, but it's for me and my household. We're going to serve the Lord. There is an absolute solidity. Do you feel it? There is a solidity in Joshua. There is a confidence in Joshua. There is an unwaveringness in Joshua. There is a passion in Joshua that you can feel. It's interesting when we look carefully at this passage too. So interesting. Joshua specifically challenges the Israelites to get rid of the gods that their fathers had worshipped in Egypt and in the desert. And that's remarkable in and of itself, isn't it, Stephen? That even given the mighty miracles of God, and you know how many miracles God did for the Israelites in the Exodus, even in spite of all the mighty miracles of God, the children of Israel were still toying with false gods. Otherwise, there would have been no place for him to say that. They were still toying with false gods. The pull is strong. the pull to the false gods that are available to each one of you and you watching online and listening on the podcast. The pull is strong. Understand that our adversary, Hasatan, is not going to offer you a false god except for one that pleases your flesh. Wow, that's, I hope you got that. See, the adversary is not stupid. He's not just merely reading a script and then just playing it out like that. No. Our adversary will not offer you a false god except for one that pleases your flesh. See, if you understand that and know that, then you can understand what's trying to be substituted for what should truly be that which you're passionate about in life. There's so many things that will pull you away from your first love. It's interesting, the musicians were singing a beautiful Keith Green song, which I absolutely love, and have done a whole sermon series just on that one song, but "Restore the Lamp of My First Love." So many people's first love, the lamp fades away. Their love of God, their love of Messiah, and it fades. Sometimes because of just the trials of this world, sometimes because some of those false gods, the flesh rises up within them. And suddenly you're not seeking first the kingdom of God, you're seeking something else. Deuteronomy chapter 30, please. Deuteronomy in the Torah. Chapter 30, Bavakasha. What are you passionate about? Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, it says this. I call the heavens and the earth to witness about you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Okay, you got choices here. Therefore, choose life so that you and your descendants may live. By loving Adonai your God, listening to his voice and clinging to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell on the land that Adonai swore to your fathers, to Avraham, to Yitzhak, and to Yaakov to give them. Mm. See, friends, if we choose God, because it's a choice, if we choose God and are passionate about it, then we are promised a blessing. Okay, think about that for just a second. This is not obscure or in any way obfuscated. This is an actual something that God is telling us very clearly here. If we choose God, so there's a choice involved. If we choose God and are passionate about it, then we are promised a blessing. Okay, it's sort of like we're on Let's Make a Deal. Remember that game show? You know, it's still on, I think. Let's Make a Deal. You remember that? I remember the old one with Monty Hall and the new one with Wayne Brady. Okay, so Let's Make a Deal. Okay, it's the game show, which actually, it's like you're on that game show, which actually I have been on. But instead of getting two curtains that you don't know, you know how they have two curtains. Do you want curtain number A or curtain number B? And the crowd shouting and you don't know, and it might be a zonk or a wonk or whatever it's called, and it's actually a donkey or something or a bale of hay, and the other curtain's got a new car, and you're like, oh man, I've chosen wrong. You know, that's the game show, Let's Make a Deal, all right? But instead of getting two curtains that you don't know what is behind each one, they're open the curtains for you and show you which one has the blessing. They'll say, okay, do you want curtain number one or curtain number two? But before you decide, Johnny, open up the curtains. Woo! Dun, 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 dun. Okay, there goes. The curtains open up. You can see what's inside. Okay, it's time for you to make a decision. Would you like curtain number one or curtain number two? That wouldn't make a very good game show, would it? I don't think that'd be bad television. I don't think people would be like, what? You know, Which one will you choose? It's kind of a no-brainer, isn't it? It's a no-brainer decision at that point. You know, I think I'm going to take the car. He's taking the car. Oh, my gosh. Oh, everybody celebrating. No. Friends, because God has set before us, he tells us right here, he set before us life and death, blessing and the curse. He tells us, choose life. And friends, it's amazing how many people take the wrong choice. They look and they say, well, I'll take curtain number one. Okay, now you understand the curtain is open, right? That's like it's got a wheelbarrow in it. It's a wheelbarrow and it's filled with stuff. I don't have to tell you what it's filled with stuff. You sure you want it? Yeah, give me curtain number one. What? You know, you got to tell you, I could hear the audience right now. No, what are you? What are you thinking? I mean, people would get upset. They'd be like, "Why, man? Why can't I get on a game show like that? Because I could make that decision. That's a pretty easy one." Huh? But that's how, but yet in life, God lays it out for us. Deuteronomy 30, life, death, blessing, curse, which one you want? And so many people, I'll take the curse. Give me the curse. Yeah, the curse. Are you sure you want the curse? Yeah. Give me the curse. It seems foolish. This is what happens. It's oftentimes temporary selfishness. They want to please their flesh for a moment instead of choosing that which is much, much better. Friends, no, choose the blessing. Joshua made the same offer. Choose this day whom you will serve. What a clear question there. He says, listen, you want to serve the gods that they served over the river, talking about the River Jordan during the wandering. You want to serve the gods back in Egypt? You know, that's Pharaoh and all the false gods of Egypt. You want to serve the gods of the Amorites? That's some of the people that they took over. You want to do that? Does that seem good to you? Go for it. You do that. See how it works out for you. But as for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. Whew, man, there's some passion in that. Deep, deep passion. But friends, if you are going to make the correct choice, it seems so self-evident. But if you're going to make the correct choice, you have to be passionate about it. You've got to have that passion. Because if it's not strong within you, then what's going to happen is that the flesh is going to draw you away. These false gods are going to draw you away. That's why, friends, you have to be all in. Well, does that mean I need to go into full-time ministry? No, it's not about that. It's about what's in your heart. You have to know that it is the better choice and passionately stick with it, regardless of the circumstances. Well, things are really hard now. I don't know. Maybe I don't want to make that choice. That's the very time you need to make the choice. And don't look back. See, you need to commit to yourselves. I'm talking briefly to you members here for just a second. You need to commit to yourself. Today, right now, in this very moment, you need to commit to yourself that in 20 years from now, should the Lord tarry, your name is still going to be on the membership roll. Do you see that there's something within inside you that's just got to be stirred? We simply must have that dedication when we know that we have chosen a winner. And, oh yeah, I still never consume the competitor. The title of my message is Passion. Let's bow our heads. I want to ask if there's anybody here who's never said a prayer to receive Yeshua as your Messiah. If that's you and you've never given your life to God, but you'd like to wherever you are, all it takes is a simple prayer, but it will transform your life. Wow, I mean, it will change you on the inside. Why? Because you will be choosing life. You will be choosing the blessing. Will it be always easy? No. But it will always end up with a blessing in the end. So if that's you and you've never said a prayer to receive Yeshua as your Messiah, but you want to today, lift your hand and we'll pray together. Is there anybody who's never done so but wants to today? Want to give your life to God? You've not done so before, but you'd like to. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Maybe you're watching online or listening on the podcast, and that's you. If you've never said a prayer to receive Yeshua as your Messiah, say this simple prayer. Say, dear God, I humble myself before you. I ask Yeshua into my heart. I believe he's risen again. Please forgive me of my sins. God, I'm sorry. I'll live the rest of my days for you. Thank you, God. See, that's passion. I'll live the rest of my day. Whew. Man, I hope you feel that way, those of you who said that prayer in Yeshua's name. If you said that prayer for the first time, I'd love for you, if you're in the room, please see me after the service. Want to rejoice with you. If you're watching on the YouTube stream or the podcast, please send us an email. We want to rejoice. Want to rejoice with you. Lord, I thank you for this congregation. I thank you, God, for a message coming out of this high holy day season, Lord, a passion. A passion is for me and my house. We will serve the Lord. That's come anything or high water. It doesn't matter. I'm serving the Lord. Period. End of sentence. You can do what you want to do, but I am going to serve the Lord. Me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. Man, there's a passion there. But what about when this happens? It doesn't matter. As for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. But what about that? What about if what this person says? What about if this hard time comes? What about this feeling that what about this fleshly desire that rises up in me? It doesn't make any difference. As for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. Are you convinced? Are you passionate? Yeah. That's what we need to be. Thank you, Lord. I pray for a congregation, Lord, and for believers who are passionate about our faith, about what we believe, and it's passionate about you, God. That's the bottom line. Passionate about seeking first the kingdom of God. Then all these other things will be added unto you. Thank you, Lord, for this. Lord, we bless you and we thank you for these things. In Yeshua's name we ask, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin. Please like, subscribe, and share this link with a friend. We would be grateful to receive your tax-deductible gift to further the good news of Messiah Yeshua. To make a contribution, please click on the PayPal link in the description. Also, to view our regular services, click the link in the description for our YouTube channel. If you would like more information about Yeshua the Messiah or how you can become part of our Beth-Hillel family, please visit our website at www.bethhillel.org. That's BETHHALLEL.org. Or call 770-641-3000. If you are in the Metro Atlanta area, please visit us for an Arab Shabbat service, Friday nights at 8 o'clock, or Shabbat services, Saturday mornings at 11. God bless and Shalom.